You're going to hear this probably from every single person on this episode. The people.
Come for the views, stay for the people.
I think I'm also really going to miss the other hikers out here.
And certainly number one has to be the people.
Backpacker Radio, presented by The Trek. I am your host, Zach Badger Davis. This is episode number 11 of our Trail Correspondent Series. Today's episode is our most uplifting to date. That's because our thru-hikers have been tasked with describing the highs of their journey. Specifically, we learn what keeps them going, what they most look forward to each day, and what they think they'll miss most once the journey is over. So, hop on your unicorn and get ready to ride the rainbow because you're about to get filled with a healthy dose of joy. Here it is.
Hey guys, it's Fainting Goat. It's been a little over a month since my last update, and I've been hauling ass since then. Just entered Vermont this morning, which is pretty cool to only have 3 states left, although the welcoming committee sucked. I got ambushed by mosquitoes pretty much the second I went over that border sign. I don't know what it was about the Mass-Vermont border, but it was like they were lying in wait. And today I'm going to be discussing some of my favorite things about the trail. And certainly number one has to be the people. That includes both the community of fellow hikers, who, as we all have experienced, are pretty wonderful, as well as trail angels and other people in town. It's amazing to experience kindness from complete strangers on an almost daily basis. It really inspires a sense of wanting to give back, both directly in the forms of trail magic and also just having a little more of a generous outlook in daily life. I'll also give a quick shout out to the state of Massachusetts, which for me was the land of magical instant hitches, both going into Great Barrington and then having to circle back around to Dalton after a pair of shoes that had gone missing suddenly showed up. I basically stuck my thumb out and immediately had a ride. Next thing is the simplicity of trail life. I can think that some of the happiest moments of my life have been spent as an unwashed vagabond, carrying only the possessions that fit on my back, and more or less doing nothing but walk, eat, and sleep all day. It really recalibrates your idea of what luxury is and brings newfound appreciation for such comforts as potable water and flushing toilets that I think most of us take for granted in the developed world. I do think the fact that through hiking can be really hard is also significant. And, you know, we all love to bitch about the big climbs, the bugs, the crazy chafe and other blisters, everything that hikers endure. But testing yourself and continuing on in spite of the difficulties really is its own reward, especially as you continue and you get stronger and stronger. That's been a major thing for me on this, since it is my third long trail. I know on the PCT, I struggled with overuse injuries pretty much the whole way. I found on that trail that I liked doing big miles, but I didn't really think I'd be capable of sustaining them over the long haul. Just in the course of that trail, I had struggled with shin splints, plantar fasciitis, very persistent tendonitis, and one of my ankles that also led to rolling it a bunch of times because it made it unstable. And I thought that might just be my lot with these long hikes. So it was really remarkable to come back 2 years later on the CDT and find that I just wasn't having those physical issues, even though I broke all of my self-imposed rules about starting slow, taking lots of zeros early, pretty much just charged into it. And I did find that sometimes when trying to do big days, I would hit the wall mentally. I still had some gas in the tank, I'd still have daylight left, and I just couldn't think of a reason to go any further. And so it's been really nice to come out on the AT and find that everything's come together. The only real physical issue I've had out here was a little bit of knee pain at the very beginning. And this time I did do the smart thing, took a couple zeros, started a little bit slower, and since then I've been able to ramp up the mileage bit by bit. And I feel good. both mentally and physically. I'm looking forward to these last three states, and it's been really gratifying to just feel myself getting stronger every step of the way, especially as somebody who has never identified as an athlete or good at sports. And now, some 7,000 miles later, I see the finish line for this one in sight, and it's looking like I'm going to complete it in under 100 days, possibly right around the 3-month mark, but I know New Hampshire and Maine have plenty of challenges in store for me, so I'm not going to call it yet. I'll give you guys another update in a few weeks.
Hi, what's up, you hooligans? It's your boy, IB Tat, coming at you live from the Appalachian Trail at mile marker 800. That's right, I'm sitting here at this stick marker, 800 miles. Oh my God, I can say I never thought I'd make it this far, but yeah, I did. You don't step on this damn trail unless you think you're gonna make it to town, but it's a damn good feeling. I limped my way across this mile marker today, but oh, that's good times. Speaking of good times, I wanna talk to you a little bit about the good times I've had so far on the trail. There's been a million of them. But this has been an amazing journey so far. We're not even halfway there yet, but there's been some highlights, stuff I look forward to every day. So I'm going to tell you about that stuff right now. My absolute favorite part of this long ass journey I'm on is just being out here each and every day. I mean, this is the first vacation I've had in 15 years. So I went big and I took a 6-month vacation. Just living out in the woods each and every day is just amazing to me. All I have to do is get up and walk every day. You wake up with the sunrise, you wake up with the birds chirping, sometimes the damn dirty woodpeckers. We're not going to talk about that right now. I hate woodpeckers. Anyway, all you have to do is get up and walk every day. I have my house on my back. It's just everything I need is on my person, and all I have to do is carry this shit from Georgia to Maine. That's a big task, but when you think about it, it's the simple, most simple way of living you can think of. When I got on this trail, I sold everything I own. All I have in this world is sitting on my back right now, other than my banjo and my basset hound I have back home. Everything else I own in this world is on my back. I'm carrying each and every day. And that's my favorite aspect of hiking long trails, this long trail in particular. It's just a simple way of life. I mean, get back to the goddamn basics. So what keeps me going on a trail like this? Well, this isn't your daddy's day hike, okay? This is 2,189 miles of pure brutality. You can look at all the awesome pictures on Instagram you want, but this trail is brutal as all hell. So there's a downside to this trail. It's not all sunshines and rainbows all the time. So what keeps me going other than, vitamin I? It's the ultimate go. I was talking to myself the other day on the trail about this. I have a lot of conversations with myself, but you know, even here in Virginia, 800 miles, I think about Mount Katahdin on almost a daily basis. And every time I do, I get choked up about it, almost on a daily basis. And if you don't get choked up and you don't get chills thinking about that Mount Katahdin sign, then you better check your head, because you don't walk over 2,000 miles for an ultimate goal like Mount Katahdin and don't get excited about it. I mean, I'm only at 800 miles, but that image of Mount Katahdin sign is burned into my damn brain. I've seen countless summit photos. I've seen countless summit videos, and I want to cry every time I see it. I can't imagine what I'm going to do when I get up to that Mount Katahdin sign and wrap my own arms around it. I think about it every day. So that's what keeps me going day in and day out. Even here in Virginia, I think about Mount Katahdin on a daily basis. So what do I look forward to on a daily basis? Well, there's a million things, but I'm just looking at a waterfall right now. There you go. There's one thing. You never know when you're going to come see a waterfall, just wandering through the woods. Anyway, aside from my morning coffee, one of my most favorite rituals in the world is when I wake up, the first thing I got to do is shit. That's immediate number one. And then I come back to my tent and I enjoy a good 10 minutes of just me in my tent vestibule drinking my morning coffee, listening to the birds. That is my moment each and every day. I cherish that moment each and every day. Aside from that, once you lace on the shoes, I used to look at gut hooks all the time, study that thing. Now I don't even care really. I'll check it for water sources, where I might camp that night, but I don't like looking at ahead of what I'm going to see. Each day is new. And when I come up to, let's say, this waterfall I was just talking about, I didn't know that was there. I just walked up on that thing. So it's the pleasant surprise you get each and every day. You don't know what you're going to come upon. Now, you do get things like McAfee Knob and some of the more James River Bridge, which I went over this morning. You know you're going to cross those things, and you look forward to those. But you can see pictures of them all day long until you see it with your own eyes. I mean, that's that moment right there is just burning your memory for a lifetime. So it's all the stuff. There's always a new place to see. You're always pushing north. Each and every day, you're seeing something new. So it's whatever that day is going to bring you. As you see it in that moment, that's what I look forward to the most. So what parts of this hike am I going to miss when it's all over? Well, I hate to think about that now because I'm hiking it right now. So I don't want to think about it when it's over right now. I'm soaking it all up right now. But I will say back when I was doing my, you know, shakedown hikes in North Carolina, I got so used to doing out and back hikes. What's so great about this, a long hike like this, is you're always heading in the same direction. You're not looping. You're not going out and back. It's a new destination every day. You're still heading north, but it's a new, you know, new environment every single day. That you watch the seasons change. It's amazing. So you see all these things for the first time, and that, I guess that would be the big thing I'm going to miss. So I could go back to the AT next year and I could hike McAfee's Knob, or I could go up on Max Patch or Grayson Highlands or whatever, but you'll never get back that first time you saw those things. And that moment is just special. If you could see the look on some of these people's faces when you're hiking with them and they come up, let's say we go up to Grayson Highlands and they've never been there, and a horse comes up to them and starts licking their leg like they're a salt lick, you see the look on their face and it's amazing. It's just, they weren't expecting it. And I guarantee I've had that look on my face a million times. Case in point, McAfee Knob. I keep bringing that up because I just did it. It was just amazing. Went up there for the sunset, came back down to Pig Farm, went up the next morning for the sunrise. Though that night and that morning will be burned into my memory for a lifetime, and I will never get that exact moment back. I can go up there for a million sunrises and sunsets after the fact, but the first time I've done these things is always going to be special to me. But I'm getting out of breath now because I got a pretty decent incline up coming up here, so I'm gonna let y'all go. I'm gonna enjoy this waterfall and the sound of this river next to me. We'll holler at you fuckers later down the trail.
Hi, it's Floss. I'm here with Jesus and Classy. We're just short of Parisburg, and we're just going to have a little conversation about some of the things that we've found the most enjoyable so far on the trail. I know that I've talked everyone's ears off about it here, but Virginia, I went to school in Charlottesville, so all my friends live around here, so when we crossed that state line just as we were heading into Damascus, that was certainly a hike for me. What about you guys? Have you run into anything similar?
Pretty much the same. Like, just after all the rain that we had, like, Virginia's been awesome. Like, all the views have been awesome, and the weather's been much kinder to us.
Yeah. Those the 3 weeks leading up to that was just, like, straight rain.
Yeah, we didn't have too many kind words for Tennessee when we crossed the state line.
Yeah.
After dealing with mud and rain and crossing on a bright sunny day was definitely uplifting.
Yeah. You guys, anything else apart from the Virginia state line? I know that something that was really cool for the group was that we saw Harvey Lewis, the ultra runner, come through by the partnership shelter.
Yeah, that was definitely, we knew that he was close to us, but it was nice to see him come through, and he complimented us on our nice tent city.
Yeah,
that was sweet.
And that was that before or after we'd ordered a 28-inch pizza and shared as a group?
I think that was after, or we were about to.
That was a high as well. Giant pizza.
Yeah.
And they delivered it straight to the shelter, basically.
That was
pretty
rad.
Much. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's, yeah, like, just little things like that make it, like, super cool, you know? Like, just helps keep the spirits up.
Yeah, and even, like, I know that we've talked about it a bunch, but, like, it kind of rolls into a low, but at the same time, it's, like, I think our hardest day, the day that sucked the most, was when it rained tons, and we decided to go 25 miles that day because we wanted to be close to getting into town. And that sucked so bad that it came round the other end and ended up being fun. I think that was a high for me, especially when I was on top of the board and I ran into you, Jesus, and Roadrunner, and we were just like yelling "fuck you" to like literally every single high point we went over because we couldn't see anything and there was wind coming in.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like a high point in of itself. I mean, like, everything after that that was bad has not felt as bad. You know what I mean? It's not. In comparison, it's not as terrible, so...
It has, like, made stuff easier, yeah.
Definitely. Nothing else has been that bad.
Yeah, so no. It's all been, like, relatively good days.
Yeah, and we just did 25 today, and, you know, it feels like 10 times better than doing that 25 then, but...
No, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah. Have you guys have got a favorite town that we've been in yet?
I guess, yeah, Hot Springs has probably been my favorite. Mm-hmm. I really liked staying at Elmer's, and... The people there were really cool, and, you know, going out, like, for Noodle's birthday was really fun.
Yeah.
And all that, yeah. That was a really good time.
I really enjoyed Damascus, just, like, kind of renting that whole place out that we had that night.
Oh, yeah.
And cooking dinners and just hanging out. We stayed up later than we should have for normal hikers, but we drank a lot of beer. We had our own place, and... That was definitely a much-needed kind of break from the trail.
Yeah, and it was nice to kind of, like, get, like, real cooking in. You know, I threw a couple chicken breasts on the grill. We bought way too much beer. Whoever took over afterwards, you're welcome. There was, like, 20 beers still in that fridge afterwards.
That's got to count on my lows.
Yeah.
The fact that we left so many beers behind.
But, yeah, highly recommend taking the Virginia Creeper Lodge in Damascus for anyone who's getting there after we did, because... Number one, you might get all our free beer. But number two, like, there's only a limited number of rooms you can take over the whole place. And it was really nice having that sort of family atmosphere just to hang out the whole day. So,
yeah, that was awesome. Great place to stay.
Cool. Well, I think that's about it for the highs. You'll be hearing from us soon with the lows. See you later.
Hi, this is Sassafras reporting live from the trail. So what have been my favorite elements of this hike so far? For me, a lot of what keeps me going and keeps me engaged are all the little beautiful moments in the day. And I think we all kind of expect these in the form of big sweeping vistas and amazing views, but and I love those, don't get me wrong. They are part of what keeps me going, but I like a lot of the little stolen moments. So, you know, bumping into a red F down the trail, I'll stop and say hello, or, you know, seeing a really bizarre mushroom or fungus, running into non-poisonous snakes, and, you know, I've run into a fawn and obviously a whole bunch of deer and a bunch of little critters, and those moments are amazing. I walked through a couple stretches of absolutely full-on blooming mountain laurel that were just exquisite. You know, the good sunsets, the, like, weird sunrises. Those kinds of moments, I guess, kind of predictably help keep me going. I also really love hard climbs. I'm that freak who looks forward to the ups. So any day that I have, like, a challenging up with a view at the end, I get super excited. I think I'm also really going to miss the other hikers out here. I've gotten so used to the sort of hiker community and ethos, and I've made a lot of really amazing friends, and I'm going to miss bumping into them over the course of our days, and I'm going to miss the simplicity of my life out here. It's very simple and straightforward, and there's really just one thing that I have to do, and that's just hike, and the rest of it is all logistics to help make that hiking possible and make decisions about, oh, well, will I go look at that scenic overlook or whatever, but those are all really simple compared to off-trail life, and I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss the fact that I don't really look at a watch out here, except to time my miles, and I otherwise don't really think about time of day or even what day of the week it is. I only notice it's a weekend because there's suddenly an influx of very clean, fresh-smelling people on trail. And I think for me, you know, obviously a huge part of what keeps me going is the goal to get to Katahdin, to get home to the state of Maine for me. And for me, being out here has also meant that I have come to realize how many amazing, truly amazing, supportive, loving people in my life I have off the trail. The amount of support and encouragement I've gotten from folks near and far in the form of resupplies or a couch to sleep on and a hot shower or whatever, it's been amazing. And honestly, I would not still be on trail if it weren't for all of that amazing support. And knowing that I get to have this adventure and then share that adventure with all these people in my life so they kind of get to experience it as well. I mean, you know, it kind of gives your life a little bit of a sense of purpose that it didn't have before, and you feel like you're sharing something really important and amazing. And I'm going to miss that when I get done. I think in life we carry all kinds of titles and identities, and I have really enjoyed being a thru hiker, and I know that I'll get to carry that with me always, but it's going to feel different when I'm not out here hiking it every day, you know, when my main goal is not just making my miles for the day or trying to get to town so that I can take a hot shower. I have a whole new appreciation for indoor plumbing that really, honestly, it is the most brilliant thing humanity has ever done. And I hope that I continue always to have that level of appreciation, because I think it's one of those things a lot of us take for granted in normal life. So, I think I'll miss a lot of the bird song. I'll miss how quiet it is. I'll miss the way that you can hear the wind come in layers. So you can hear it kind of far off, almost like a distant wave, and then you can hear it get louder, and you can hear when it's really high up or when it's coming in close to the ground. And I'll miss being able to detect the nuances and the details there, I think. And that's all I can think of, but I'm sure there's a whole lot more on this.
Hey guys, this is Afternoon Delight, and I am in Bishop, California right now. Just 2 days ago, came in from Kearsarge Pass, got a hitch into Independence, and then came up here. And took a zero yesterday, which was really awesome, because I haven't been feeling well lately and thought my tonsillitis that I had a few weeks ago was coming back. So that was really not great, but happy to say that right now I'm feeling good. A little wary, though, going into the next stretch, which will be up to Mammoth. So that'll be about 8 days or so. So hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes well. So, my favorite elements of this journey so far, I really love the scenery. That's a big reason why I came out here. And now entering the Sierras, it's like everything's fallen into place. You have the snow-capped mountains, you're in the snow sometimes, but the sun is still warm. And, you know, not only that, but you're still meeting awesome people, getting to know everyone. There's just, I guess there's so little to complain about aside from really being tired a lot, and you know, the climbs are difficult, but in the end it's so worth it, it seems. So in terms of what keeps me going every day, for me it's the scenery and just experiencing different areas every time. You know that every day you're going to walk into something completely different. You could be in a very woodsy area down in the valley, and then the next day, you know, you're at a higher altitude. You have like all of this lush grass and greenery, and just water flowing everywhere. And right now, you know, that's what's happening in the Sierra, but soon enough, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, like just knowing that everything's going to be more and better than I ever expected just keeps me going. In terms of every day, I think I really look forward to finishing a climb, if there is one, because, you know, that just sometimes can get discouraging. But when you know you have, say, one climb of the day and you finished it and now it's just all downhill, you get to see the scenery from the peak, that just, like, it's such a good feeling. Even getting into camp sometimes is a good feeling to just, like, decompress and relax and, you know, have conversations, cook some really good warm food. Yeah, it's, there's, depending on the day, like, certain things motivate me more than others. And, yeah, I think, like, when I was sick, it was motivating me to get to town. That kind of sunk, but, you know, now that I'm starting to feel better, the big motivators are just knowing that, like, even if it's a pass, you're going up a bit and it's difficult. You're winded because of the elevation, but it's fun and it's challenging. And especially when you have, like, some snow here and there, we're lucky that there is snow, but it's super manageable. For Forrester, didn't even get out my ice axe. We used some micro spikes, which was great. And glissading is fun, even though I scraped up my whole leg because I didn't wear my rain pants. Lesson learned. But, yeah, just you get up to those passes and then you look over and you just see, like, more than you ever expected. You thought that, like, the scenery behind you was great, and, you know, you're just blown away over and over again. So I think when I look back, like, after I'm done with this hike, I'm really going to miss it all. I'm going to miss camping under the stars. I feel like it's hard to not take that for granted sometimes, to just be outside camping. And not only that, but it's just, there's a simplicity to this lifestyle, and it's very manageable, and it's very rewarding knowing, you know, you get into town and you're like, okay, I have to do my laundry, I have to, you know, clean my pots and everything, or what else? Let's see, you have to shower. Like, it's just like basic things, getting food, getting your resupply for the next leg. And it's just so simple. And then you get it done, you're like, okay, I'm good. I literally have everything I need in this pack. And that's it. And you go, and it's, there's something that feels good about knowing that every single thing you have with you, you're utilizing, that there's no unnecessary junk around. And it's just like one foot in front of the other to get to one place to another, and every single day is an adventure. And I know, going back to the real world, not every day is an adventure, but, you know, it takes time. You have to, like, think about and plan trips and backpacking trips and stuff, and this is just, like, one long adventure, meeting people, eating good food in towns, exploring, seeing amazing places, and I think I'll miss that. I think I'll miss all of it. So, thankfully, I don't have to think about that yet. But those are my highs. And I'm getting them every day, so super awesome. But anyway, talk to you guys soon. This is Afternoon Delight, signing out.
Hey, Backpacker Radio, it is Buns checking in. I'm with two good buddies in Bishop.
Hello, I'm Little Bites.
And I am the Sundance Kid.
So I chose to interview these two because I've found so much, like, great positivity and vibes from them. I'll often walk into you know, just camp, or I remember one specific day walking into a water cache and not having seen them for a little while. And it's kind of regardless of how I feel, if I'm in a good mood or a bad mood or kind of neutral, they always just seem to lift it somehow. They just really bring so much positive energy to the trail and their group and myself in the past. And I'm definitely very thankful for them both. And although we haven't spent a whole lot of time together, I feel close to them in a lot of ways. So they are engaged, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And they are just such a hilarious combo. They have great chemistry together. They bounce comedy off each other super well. And then the Sundance Kid and I collectively are the Bundance Kid, and we are doppelganger outfit wearers, and we've been mistaken by an interesting trail angel as well as my hiking partner Bones. So I'll let them do a little more talking now, but we're talking about highs today, and specifically my first question would be, could you think of a time when one of the others was really, really happy?
When one of the others was really happy? Oh yeah,
little bites.
Little bites, yeah. Well, she's pretty much happy all the time hiking the trail. Every time we go around a corner or, you know, get to the crest of a ridge, she sees a new view and beautiful scenery, and she just explodes with positivity and happiness. So it's pretty much floaty little bites all the way down the trail. And it's pretty special to walk next to her while she's experiencing this. It's very entertaining.
Yeah, I can definitely believe it, but I'm sure that probably gets hard to be around someone who's so happy and wonderful all the time. Just kidding, obviously. any times when maybe the Sundance Kid was down and you really lifted them up, little bites, can you think of a specific instance in which, you know, he might have not been on his best day or having a little bit of a rough time and you came around the corner and delivered some of that beautiful positivity you have?
Oh, man. Well, what's funny is what comes to mind is actually the opposite. When I had a really rough moment that maybe Sunny forgot about, and he did that for me. I was having some shin splints, and I was, of course, having like the hiker mentality of like, oh no, the world is ending, everything must stop, you know. And I was just super mad, and I kind of was marching along with some steam coming out of my face, and Sunny gave me a bunch of space, and I was the whole time like, hey, come back here, like, I need support, I want to talk to you. And he kept giving me space and giving me space, and I finally came around the corner and I caught up to him, and he goes, so how are you feeling? And I go, I'm pissed. And I took a stone and I threw it really hard, and a bee came at me and like just like pelted me on the face, and I started running, and I had tears coming down my face, and I was swatting and running around, and I was like, Sunny, do something. And finally it all just stopped, and he looks at me, and I looked at him, and he goes, I think you just learned something. And I was like, oh, I think I did too. Like, basically the idea that, you know, however one of us is feeling, not only can the other people feel that, but the nature around us can feel that, and we exude energy towards everything. And so the bee taught me a lesson, and Sunny calmed me down, and the shin splints went away.
That sounds like a great trio of lessons and benefits to that little mishap or ordeal. Let's see. There are a lot of, I feel like a lot of my highs personally have been things that I haven't really been expecting. You guys hike the AT as well?
Long Trail.
The Long Trail. Okay. So hiking the Long Trail, have there been any highs that you experienced out there that you are looking forward to maybe experiencing out here? Or is there something that has surprised you out here as a high that you maybe didn't think would necessarily happen?
Oh, yeah. So I would say it happened on the Long Trail, and it's already happened on the PCT. But one of the most, I think, overlooked highs for me is, you know, you plan the trail and, you know, you think of, you know, the scenery and the different environments that you're going to be walking through, but you don't really expect the community high. So I think once I realized that the people around me were going to be some of my best friends on the trail, and you know, my trail fam and community was forming around me, that was one of the biggest highs, because you have a family and you're hiking the PCT. You're in one of the most beautiful places. So once that kind of sets in and you realize that these are your people and this is the place I'm in, I don't know, that it's hard to explain what that makes you feel.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true, and I've found that about myself that, you know, one of my hiking friends from last year just came into town, and I've been spending time with him and his wife, and then one of our other friends from last year, and he reminded me of a quote from Into the Wild, and that's regarding, you know, happiness is only real when it's shared, and I think that's absolutely true. I've just found, you know, the people out here to be such wonderful people, and Sunny and Little Bites are part of this really great family called the Foxes, and they've got an amazing dynamic, and it's a relatively large family, but they just always and I'm in it as well, and all of them just are such wonderful people. And you know, I hike with a ukulele, and just the other day I found out that one of them was in a country band, and she asked to borrow my ukulele, and then she just started playing, and it was such a beautiful thing. And you know, I thought, like, you know, I'm not great at the uke, but I would almost carry it just to let other people play, because I think that's one, like, another one of the ways people can bring such, you know, beauty to the trail, and share a part of themselves, for sure. Is there a specific trail angel instance that you can think of that maybe caught you not at a great time and really lifted you up, or, you know, maybe it was just something that really filled you with joy?
Definitely. I have a couple quick instances. One actually was before we were on the PCT on our road trip out here. We were hiking through the Grand Canyon, kind of prepping ourselves for the journey, and ran into this older man hiking the Arizona Trail, that's right, AZT. And his trail name is Autumn Leaves, and he just stopped and started asking us where we were from and what we were doing, and everything we were doing was awesome to him, and he just had these bright eyes, and I was actually thinking again at that moment about injury, and he was like, oh my God, you'll be so great, your body is way stronger than you think, and everything's going to be awesome, and you two are amazing, and I've been thinking of that guy ever since we encountered him. He's brought so much joy. We met another woman who works at REI. Her name was Blue Jay, and she had just hiked the PCT, and she gave us so much wisdom about just how to experience it and take our time, and kind of more the spirituality around it all. And then I'd say two quick instances. One guy, Coppertone, he kind of lives in his camper van, and he moves up along the trail helping out PCT hikers at different points, but we were almost to our campground, and he was just camped there and super humble and quiet. He was like, hey, you want a root beer float? And I was like, what? And you know, he had all these lawn chairs out and everyone just sitting there eating a root beer float, and it was so special and simple and, you know, kind of quietly kind. And then lastly, most recently, it was hilarious. One of our trail family members is named Driver, and he in town recently thought it would be funny, but also kind of needed to do this. But he rented a car and came and picked us up at the trailhead, which was going to be like a challenging hitch to try and get. And, you know, we'd get to one town and then need another hitch. And he was just waiting there for us to pick us up. So another PCT hiker doing some trail magic. And that was really special.
Yeah, and I just definitely want to give a shout out to all the trail angels, because without all of you guys, I think this trail would be so much more difficult. And there are definitely days where I think you save hikers' attitudes and potentially, you know, their entire trip in general, just because it means so much to us, you know, all the things you guys do for us. And if it's as little as, you know, giving advice or a compliment to making delicious root beer floats with strawberries in them, which I would never have thought of, but they're actually quite good, Coppertone, so you're crushing it there, bud. And then, let's see, I would say finally, maybe let's talk about your artwork a little bit. I've been behind these two a fair amount, and it's so fun to see their little drawings on trail, because, you know, maybe I get caught up in the grind of hiking and I get caught with my head down, or, you know, just get maybe not in the greatest mental space or whatever, but the whole Fox family has a pattern of leaving little notes on the ground for each other, but especially these two, they get quite creative with their artwork, and it's just so fun to see. And then it makes me think like, oh, they're so close and I'm gonna be with them soon. And it definitely like not only picks up my mood but picks up my pace a little bit. And I just again, you know, like that makes me so happy to know that friends are ahead and close. And when I see these guys' artwork, it just makes me know that they're having a great time, which, you know, always lifts my mood. What would you say your favorite thing to draw is, Sonny?
Oh, man. So I'm big into logistics. So whenever the trail gets into a kind of confusing intersection, I'm always psyched to point an arrow to the right way or do like a pathway. But so that's my first one. My second one is...
what do we call that with the pathways?
Oh, it's clarity.
Clarity.
We call it clarity. So, and then the second one is the fox symbol, which was just recently made. And it's kind of after a Pokemon. I forget which one. But Eevee. Yeah, Eevee, the Pokemon. But yeah, we can draw this fox symbol on the move, so we don't have to stop at all. And it just lets other people know that the foxes are around. So if you need... if you want to have a good time with the foxes, they're not too far away.
Yep. And how about yourself, Little Bites?
I think my favorite thing to draw with Sunny is the double combo flip backwards house.
The house, yep.
So he'll be in front and he'll do kind of the top triangle roof, and then he'll flip around, which I always hope he does this on a non-dangerous trail side.
Haven't tripped
it. And he does two lines of the side of the house, and then I come along and I do the two top and bottom horizontal lines, and we make a full house together. So that's really fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so again, like I've said, I'm really grateful to have met these two because they've brought me so much joy, and I know that I can just feel their good energy whenever they're around others, and I know they elevate everyone else's mood, especially, you know, everyone in the Fox family. I think is very grateful to them as well.
The same about you, Buns.
Thanks, guys. But yeah, so I would say my one piece of advice to hikers, if you're maybe not experiencing as many highs as you can, is just make sure you're grateful. Do little things that you know, make you happy, or maybe take some time. One of my favorite things to do is turn around and look at the trail behind me, because I feel like I only see half the trail, and that will often, you know, maybe flip my mood or whatever. But yeah, just make sure you're doing what you need to do to be happy. And I think gratitude is a cool thing, in that the more grateful you are, the more beauty and you know, great things you see in the world, and especially out here on trail. And then I'm gonna leave with one vicarious high, and that's from my hiking buddy Bones. He was having a bit of a rough day. It was a big climb, and he came around a corner, and this girl we met the other day, Boomerang, is one heck of a singer and ukulele player, and she was just belting it out on a rock with a beautiful view, and he said that that just flipped his whole day. And without, you know, her sharing that with him, and I've heard about her from other people as well, you know, changing someone's mood. So yeah, thanks Boomerang for that, and miss you, Bones. And all right, Backpacker Radio signing off. Thanks, Sunny and Little Bites.
Thank you, buddy.
Good morning, Backpacker Radio. It's Photon. It's another lovely morning in the Sierra. I'm currently walking to Red's Meadow, where I'm going to have a real breakfast. I can't wait. So I thought I'd harness this excitement and tell you about my favorite things about hiking the PCT thus far. The PCT slogan should be, come for the views, stay for the people. At least that's how I feel about it. I know that some people come out here for the solitude, and honestly, you might be hard-pressed to find it, because at least this year the trail's pretty heavily populated. But I've loved that about it. Almost everyone you meet is one of the best people you've ever met. And I know that I've already made friends that I'll have for the rest of my life. I think it's just that whatever drives people out here is what draws me to them, and I think we might all have that in common. I miss the desert, where I knew that I would see you know, maybe 20 friends at the water source for camping or just for lunch. Or getting to know everyone in my bubble at Hiker Heaven, Casa de Luna, Hiker Town. But what's cool about the Sierra is when you stumble across someone that you know, it's like a gift. It's almost more special when you aren't expecting to see someone, especially if you haven't seen them in a really long time. And what's also nice about the Sierra is that I think people look out for each other on the passes and the creek crossings. I've noticed that people have sort of huddled into smaller groups to get those things done. You really get to know people better. But of course, I also really treasure my solitude out here, especially not having a phone. I knew I spent too much time on my phone. I didn't realize exactly how much time. And now, I mean, I don't use it at all. It's kind of a trip to have so much time in my own head. I think most of us in our normal lives, we don't really allow for that. I know that, you know, anytime I was sitting waiting for something, like sitting on the subway, I would definitely be on my phone or listening to music, listening to podcasts. And it's been really awesome to just spend time in my own head, even if like what's in my head that day is super stupid, like just Cardi B lyrics on repeat. Sometimes it's a little more thoughtful. So my rule is to not let myself listen to anything except the world around me until lunch, and then after lunch I can listen to podcasts and music. Sometimes I don't, but most of the time I do. It is a helpful crutch. But I'd like to carry that into my, you know, off-trail life. Not that exact schedule, but just allow myself more time to just be and think and reflect. I think idleness is sort of frowned upon these days, which is sort of a shame. I also really look forward to the hiking itself. It's really special to be able to use my body all day. I really look forward to those moments when I'm like totally in the zone and the hours just fly by. Usually happens in the morning or like the last few miles of the day. But you never really know when it's gonna happen. And that's why it's so awesome. And of course, the scenery. Oh man, it's been absolutely breathtaking. I don't really have words for it, so you're gonna have to come out here and see it for yourself. I'll spare you the cliches. So I'm about one third through this hike. Fuck, already one third through this hike. And already I'm nervous about it ending. I'm really gonna miss waking up in my tent. I'm gonna miss making my own schedule. I'm gonna miss just the simplicity of life out here. A lot of the times I feel like weirdly busy, just for no reason, because I have this like self-imposed schedule of like the amount of miles I want to hike that day and what I want to get done. And I think that's important for getting yourself moving. But gotta remind myself to take a step back and realize how simple it really is out here, and remember not to take that for granted. I know I'm gonna miss the people, but I also know that I'm gonna be able to visit them all over the country and all over the world, so that's something to look forward to. And damn, am I gonna miss this fresh mountain air and this delicious mountain spring water, which apparently people in San Francisco are paying top dollar for, when they could just come out here and scoop it up themselves. So see you next time. And for now, as John Muir so famously said, pancakes are calling and I must go.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Backpacker Radio. This is Miles to Go, checking in from the very top of Muir Pass around 6 a.m. And this is our last time above 11,000 feet for the entire hike, which is pretty incredible. We woke up at 3 o'clock today to hit the trail by 4, got up here around 5:40 to see the sunrise, and I'm currently sitting outside of Muir Shelter. And I'm going to just... The check-in today is about the highs of the trail, and I think this is a pretty apt place to do that. Looking at the scenery here, and it's hard to not be taken in by it and think of all the writings that John Muir did sitting out here by the shelter. And I think the reason why I keep going with this through hike is, as John Muir put it, to paraphrase him, to go outside is really to go within. And that's sort of what it is out here. It's really just you and nature, and hiking these last few days through the Sierra epitomizes that. It's really just you and nature out here. There is no cell phone reception. There's no news from the outside world. It's just you walking. Animals don't really react to you the same way that they would closer to society in urban areas. And it's just pretty incredible. And, you know, every day is a new experience. I mean, go back-to-back days with Mount Whitney, doing a sunrise hike, hiking through the dark, and then getting to the top and seeing first light from 14,500 feet. And then the next day doing the ice shoot at Forrester Pass, and then encountering a bear at Fedette Meadows at camp. And then it's just like one thing after another. The other day, my backpack broke from a marmot chewing it to pieces, but I'm still here and keep going. And that's all part of the journey, is that every day is something new and different, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And to paraphrase Jack London, you know, I'm sort of in rapture with the surging of life, and that everything I'm doing out here, every movement, every muscle, every joint, every pain that I feel, every joy, is all the opposite of death. And that I'm doing this while I can do it, because I can do it. And there's no other reason to be out here other than that, than just to experience things. And it's a pretty gratifying experience to just be here and not somewhere else. So that's about it. And I won't ramble on too much more. So yeah, we'll check back in later, but feeling really, really good right now. Totally worth the 4 a.m. start time to see the sunrise from up here. So I will check back in up the trail, and signing off with 1,814 miles to go.
Hello, it is Tunes checking in from the... Well, I was about to say coming in from the PCT, but I'm not on the PCT. I'm in Yosemite Valley, and I have been here for 3 days, taking just some time for myself, off the trail, doing things that have nothing to do with the trail, and it has been very refreshing for me. I stayed in Camp 4 the last two nights, and I've been hanging around back here in the magical forest of boulders that's behind Camp 4, and I mean, I haven't even like scratched the surface of all the amazing places that there are to climb around out here. And I'm by no means like an experienced climber, but I got into climbing recently, and it is just so cool for me to be here in this place where just so many amazing like feats of rock climbing have happened, and just to put my hands on like the rocks that I feel like I've been hearing about and I don't know, very fascinated by for a long time. So it's been really cool to be here, and I'm gonna hike out tonight, or actually, I mean, I was planning on already being hiking, but you know, shit happens, so I'm not, but I am gonna start hiking at some point during this day, and eventually I will end up via the John Muir Trail. I'll end up back on the PCT, so Yeah, should be a really beautiful hike out. I'm going to climb Half Dome in that time, and it's going to be awesome. So while I'm still down here in the valley with, you know, just time and beautiful places to hang out, I thought I'd talk to you guys and record a little bit about the trail. And this week we're talking about the best things about the trail. And I made a little list a few days ago, and the first thing that I like about the trail is the actual trail. Like, it seems really obvious, but I think that we take it for granted, like, as thru-hikers being out here because we live here and we're walking on it every day, but the trail itself is just such an amazing thing that we have. Like, I mean, really think about how amazing it is that there is a pathway completely connected that you can follow without, you know, much route finding difficulty or navigation. I mean, you could do this whole trail assuming you don't have issues with like snow or otherwise, but you could do this whole trail realistically like without even a map. I don't recommend it, but you could. And that's amazing that you can walk from one end of the United States to the other and not even have to think about it. Like, it's all just laid out in front of you. That's incredible. And not only that, but it goes through some of the most beautiful places that this country has. I mean, I've been amazed with like how incredibly beautiful California is and how many different types of environments there are here. And I probably shouldn't have been amazed because it's a huge state, but it is just incredible some of the places that we get to walk through. And all with relative ease. Like, yeah, you're carrying a heavy pack and it's not always easy to be walking uphill or downhill, but you know, you don't really have to try because lots of people who worked very hard laid out this path that allows us to do that. Like, that is amazing. And I think that we lose sight of that because we get frustrated with the trail or bored with the trail or whatever, but man, we got to recognize this is so cool. And then other than that, I think all the things that like stand out to me about how awesome the trail is are mainly related to like how simple it is to live out here. Everything that I need to survive and be comfortable, and even a few little extra things to provide momentary happiness and entertainment, all fit in my backpack. And it's not that much stuff either, and it's not that big of a backpack, and that's pretty incredible. Just thinking about all the things that I have in storage back home, I'm like, man, like, I couldn't even tell you what half of that stuff is off the top of my head. But like, if you took something out of my backpack and were like, what's missing? It would not take me very long to figure it out. Cause like, I need everything, you know, I use everything pretty much every day. And that is, that's very freeing, just to, I don't know, not be tied down to like any place or a vehicle, because it's like my feet can get me where I need to go and I can carry all my stuff. And that simplicity is one of the main reasons that I'm out here. And I am realizing as I'm saying it that I don't really appreciate it as much as I should. So yeah. And going along with that is like, you don't have decision fatigue. Like, I'm never like, oh, where am I going to go eat lunch? Or like, oh, what pair of pants am I going to wear today? It's like, well, are you sleeping or are you hiking? Like, that answers the question of what pants I'm going to wear. That's it. Like, what top am I going to wear? Well, is it cold or is it hot? Like, that's it. So that's super freeing too, just because like, we in the normal, you know, normal world, we make all these decisions every day, and it's just so much for your brain and it's exhausting. And it's really nice out here because my brain space is freed up to think about other things, to, you know, ponder life and to be creative and to be with other people and like really be with them. And I think that that's super important. Another thing that is cleared from my life and my mind out here is just all the stuff that we pay attention to, all the TV shows and big award ceremonies and large worldwide soccer events and people with the last name Trump. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it does, and that's fine, but a lot of it just doesn't. And I think, like, when I get back off trail, I don't know if I'm going to continue to have this level of not knowing what's going on, because you really don't know what's going on when you're out here. But I do think that it'll help me really assess, like, what's important to me when I get back and be like, okay, like, make different decisions about what media I'm consuming and what I'm really caring about and spending my time and my thoughts and effort, like, paying attention to. Because it takes time and it takes a lot of bandwidth in your brain, you know, to be paying attention to stuff all the time. And a lot of it just doesn't matter. So that's so nice to be out here and not even be able to pay attention to what's going on. And then, excuse me, the last thing, and you're going to hear this probably from every single person on this episode, the people. The people of thru-hiking, oh my, that's definitely one of the best things about the trail. And I knew that going in, but I didn't really know how it was going to manifest itself. I thought I was going to find like a trail fam and get real close with a bunch of people. And I've definitely like hung with groups for a while, but as I've said before, I'm mostly rolling solo, and that has kind of given me a different experience of just, I meet so many new people every day, and just being on my own, I think I'm a little more willing and able to like make strong connections with pretty much, I mean, not everyone I meet, that you meet a lot of people, but like, you just, I don't know, I feel like it opens me up and it makes me more willing to like reach out and start a conversation or invite somebody to camp with me or go watch the sunset or offer somebody one of the warm beers that's in my pack or whatever. It's like, I've made so many strong connections with people out here, and it's been like so many different people, and that's so cool to me. And in doing that, you just see that, I don't know, even though we like seem different from the outside, like, you know, people come out here from all different countries and backgrounds and whatever, being out here takes kind of like a certain grouping of characteristics or a certain kind of person who is like open to new experiences and other people. And you see that immediately out here, like talking to somebody who it looks like you might not have anything in common with, but like you immediately can be just feel like you've known that person for a long time, and like having really deep conversations, really special moments with people who you just met. And I think that that's a really cool thing about the trail. Just, you can see out here that if you're just open and willing to look past those initial like boundaries that seem to separate us, and this is not just on the trail, like in the whole world, in all of life, if you're just willing to like push past those barriers and be open, you know, see people for like as people who are like you, because we're all the same, like we need the same things, we all want to be cared for, we all want to have a conversation, like we all need someone to like share our troubles with and to like share the happy moments with, like we're all the same. And being out here can make that very obvious, but it just makes me realize, like, you know, that's how life is, and you just have to be willing to reach out, be open, and maybe not think that you're so cool all the time. You know, like, it just, smile at someone. Like, I don't know. It's, you got to get out there and see it for yourself. So yeah, I'll stop rambling and let you do that. I hope that if you're listening to this, you can go get on a trail or climb a rock or just like talk someone up in the line at Starbucks, because it's those interactions with other people that are unexpected that like are the secret sauce of life. So yeah, get saucy, have fun. Catch you later. Hey, it's Rabbit. I'm here I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sandy Cheeks.
I'm Cardboard, or the Marmot Rancher.
Or Mr. Nasty, Dr. Nasty?
Dr.
Nasty. It's hard for that degree.
All right, so we're doing the highs right now. That's what my assignment is, at least so far. So tell me what your favorite elements of this trail have been so far. Like, what is your favorite?
The exposure.
The bushwhacking?
Not the bushwhacking, but how wide open it is for a lot of it.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, actually. Just like, no matter what part of the trail you're on, just the line of sight is just insane everywhere. But then also, you can at times be in places that are very closed in, like the canyons and things in the desert. So that's been super awesome.
And it's not too many people. But there's still people hiking the trail, which is good. You're not completely alone.
Yeah, it's just like, well, I just met y'all, which is crazy. You're the first new people I've met in like a month and a half, probably. Which is crazy, because I feel like on the AT and PCT, I was like meeting new people all the time. But now it's like the same people, which is kind of nice. I feel like we're all like a little closer.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just been really cool for me.
Yeah, it's been the same. Like, the level of people has been similar to being a southbounder on the AT when you get to the south. Like, you know everyone who's ahead and behind you. Like, you never meet new people. And it's like kind of neat. But also, if you get ahead of like a day with everybody.
Yeah.
You don't see anyone for like 4 days.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like the whole trail is your trail fam.
Yeah.
Totally. Like, I got a little out of the trail family and I literally saw no one for 3 days.
Yep.
Like, I was singing to myself just to make sure I had a voice, like, to just keep myself going.
There's nothing better than when you haven't talked to anyone for hours and then you finally see like a weekender who totally isn't into how excited you are to talk to them.
Yeah. I ran up to a guy and just was like, hi. And he looked at me and was like, do you want like an apple or something? yes, I do, please. Thank you. I will leave you alone now. All right. So next on our list. So what keeps you going every day? Like, what keeps you going out here?
I haven't found anything better to do. It's just like, why would I quit? Then nothing's going to be better than hiking. So
I think part of it is like how excited I am to see, like, the landscape changes so often. So every section, you're so excited to see what's coming up next. Like, we just came out of huge mountains and now we're going back into like high desert, and then we're going to go back into huge mountains. And it's just really cool. Like, that, I think that's what keeps me going, just like wanting to see the rest of the trail.
Yeah. I think what keeps me going is just like not wanting to go anywhere else. Like, I don't want to be anywhere else. This is where I want to be. So it's not hard to just keep going. Cause I'm like, I don't want to go back to New York right now. I just like being outside and that's perfect. And if I need a break, I can just take a break in town.
Yeah.
And that's like good enough. Or town keeps me going sometimes. If I'm like not having a great section, I just think about all the town food I'm going to eat. And that totally keeps me just like heading to the next place.
Although sometimes out here it's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get to an encampment in Wyoming, and you're like, what is an encampment?
Yeah.
What am I excited about?
Like, why? There's literally nothing there.
Yeah.
And what do you think you're gonna miss whenever this is over?
Just trail life and not just being a wanderer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to miss just, like, being wowed every day. Like, I've never had, like, my jaw drop before from like just seeing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's happened twice on this trail. Like literally like couldn't keep my jaw closed because it was so amazing. So I'm going to miss that. And, you know, also all of you guys.
Yeah.
And I'm going to miss the constant low level of stress. It's because in normal life, I get a lot more stressed out a lot more often.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I think I'm going to miss hiking. I mean, this is what my entire passion has been for now going on 3 years, and I just can't imagine not doing it. So I know I'm going to keep doing it, but that's, I'm already a little, like, mildly stressed out now that we're about halfway through, that I only have half of this left. At first I was like, oh my God, I have so much left. Now I'm like, oh my God, there's only half left. Like, it's changing that feeling of like, I don't really want this to end yet, and I'm freaking out because I'm halfway done, but it's still got like over 1500 miles, so it's gonna be fine.
It's like you're a senior in school and you're about to graduate. And we've got like another trail to do, so yeah. we're just getting, you know, we're still soaked and you're like getting those, that graduation sound.
Yeah, y'all are like still juniors. At least you're not like freshmen that have never done a trail before, that I'm like, oh, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, but the people out here who haven't done a trail before,
they're amazing.
Those people, like, tip my trucker cap to them.
Yes, they are very, very impressive people. I'm always just like, man, I could not have started with this trail. No. It's very, yeah, it's very cool people that come to choose to do this first. And then, so this is not on my list, but I just want to know, like, talk about your favorite day, your favorite moment, or whatever's been, like, your one of your major high points on this trail so far.
I think it's anytime. It happens usually at the end of a day when I'm exhausted. That definitely has something to do with it. And I'm up high and there's views and the sun's setting and I'm listening to the right song. And for whatever reason, I get a little emotional. And I'm not an emotional person, but I think those are definitely my favorite moments out here.
Yeah.
It's just that, I don't know, gets me into touch with something that I usually can't get into touch with.
Yeah, I think I was telling you this earlier, my favorite day on trail was my first day after Doc Campbell's, and the night before we had gone into the Gila cliff dwellings, and I don't know if I'll get in trouble from saying this, but we sort of snuck in after they were technically closed because I really didn't want to wait until 9 the next morning to start hiking, so we went in there, and it was just me and this, like, random car camper who I drug along with me, and this guy who's no longer on the trail, and then Coffee Break. And we, not to, like, rat Coffee Break out, but we, like, the sun was setting, and we're in these cliff dwellings that are thousands of years old. Maybe, I don't know how old they were, because I didn't actually get the tour. But they're really old, but you're in this ancient space, and then it kind of put me in this headspace where, like, the next day I was hiking alone up the Gila River, and I was looking at the sandstone walls, and, like, a sandstone wall in a canyon that's been carved up by a river is like a time capsule itself, because you're looking at all of those years through the rock. And it was just this amazing day where I felt like I got really in touch with, like, my place in the earth that day. And it was, I feel like I'm going to be, like, thinking about that day for, like, my whole life.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. I think mine was one of those times where a low point turns into a high point. And I was hiking, and it was raining and miserable. And I was freezing, and I was, like, hiking over snow, and it was exposed, and I already had to stop and take shelter once because it was, like, thundering and lightning, and the storm was, like, right on top of me, and so I kept just running around, and I'm just, like, I felt like a chicken with my head cut off, like, ducking from a storm in the snow. I was soaked. My, like, rain jacket, the pockets were literally just full of water, and I was having to scoop them out,
no.
And I was like, this sucks, and then I looked down and saw this huge, super nice cabin. And I was like, there's no way I can get in that. There's no way. Like, I'm going to sleep on their porch, and hopefully they don't call the cops. If there's anyone there, it's going to be fine. I'm just going to go figure it out. And I'm, like, staring at it, walking around, coming down towards it, like, around the mountain. And that's when my friend Cruz just, like, hops out on the porch and is like, Rabbit, come down here. And I was like, yes.
and I run down the mountain. I like go to bushwhack down, and he's like, no, there's a trail, like go around. So I'm like just bushwhacking down the mountain, like, I don't care, I need it, I'm cold. And I run in there, and apparently it, like, most of the notes say that it's closed, but if you actually go there, like, a door on the third floor is open, and they have a logbook for through hikers that say, like, feel free to stay, just, like, clean up after yourselves and don't leave any food.
And the cabin was so awesome.
It was so nice. It there was like, beautiful. A wood stove. It was so warm. It was just absolute heaven. Like, we literally thought about zeroing there because it was so nice, and we're like, I think we have enough food, we'll just zero here, it'll be fine. It was the nicest thing it was like to ever find, and I got to dry all my stuff out and sleep like warm and dry on a mattress. Like, it was like one of those like ski hut mattresses, but it was, I can't complain, I sleep on a Z-Lite. Like, it was the best thing ever. And just hanging out with like my trail family there, everything was just so perfect. I was like, I could live here forever and be perfectly happy with the world.
I think finding things like that on this trail is so much more special because there's so little like hiker infrastructure built. Mm-hmm. Like, there's you're really stoked if there's actually a trail.
Yeah. You're super excited when you're not bushwhacking or on a road. And then you find a full cabin that people say you can stay in, and it's just like, this isn't real. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. Well, thank you guys so much. This is Rabbit signing off.
And that's it for Trail Correspondence episode number 11. In the next episode, as a contrast to this episode, our correspondents will go into the low points of their expeditions. This is an important show for those who track through hikers primarily on social media, where people are maybe reluctant to expose the darker sides of this journey. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider supporting Backpacker Radio through our Patreon page at patreon.com/backpackerradio. This helps us to get these podcasts published with more frequency. Also, you can leave us a 5-star review and or subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on social at Backpacker Radio on Instagram, at Backpacker Pod on Twitter, and on Facebook at facebook.com/backpackerradio. You can follow me personally at ZR Davis on Instagram and Twitter. Today's show was edited by Pauly Boy Shawcross. If you're a coffee enthusiast, check out his coffee operation at oldmanmurphs.coffee. Okay, that's all she wrote. Thanks for listening, and happy hiking.